Good evening. In the news tonight, Green presidential candidate Jill Stein on countering the politics of fear.
I regard what I'm doing in many ways as administering political therapy and helping people break up with an abusive relationship, an abusive political relationship that hasn't gotten us where it promises and makes all kinds of excuses, and then people start making excuses for their political abuser.
And Vermont Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders scores with progressive-leaning appointments to the Democratic National Convention Party platform.
The Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party, has a very fundamental choice to make.
With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is Some of the News for Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. As Vermont Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders continues to fight for the nomination campaigning in California, discussions in New York at the Left Forum looked at the nature of political discourse and what's being thrown out there by the party elite to divide rather than unite the country. One of the most popular speakers, Green presidential candidate Jill Stein. She warns of division through fear. She says the politics of fear is often what stays our hands, prevents people from acting in a progressive manner.
I think a lot of progressive, a lot of people who think of themselves as left, want to do the right thing, and then they get frightened. And there are fear campaigns out there in order to make you frightened. So we wind up going backwards instead of going forwards, and we redefine progress as not backsliding as quickly as we might. And we can see where that's leading us. So I think it's really important to examine the concept of the lesser evil. And this whole politics of fear that tells you you have to vote against what you're afraid of instead of for what you believe in. And the bottom line is that this politics of fear, if you look at the track record here, because this strategy has been out there for a while, to vote, you know, against your fear, it has a track record. What is that track record? The politics of fear has delivered everything we were afraid of. All the reasons that you were told you had to vote for the lesser evil because you didn't want the massive bailouts of Wall Street and the offshoring of our jobs and the meltdown of our climate. And by the way, all of the above turned out to be drill, baby, drill on steroids. If you actually look at the massive escalation of fossil fuels that took place under the friendly face of all of the above, the massive expansion of our endless wars, the attack on our civil liberties, on immigrant rights, et cetera, all those reasons you were told you had to vote for the lesser evil is exactly what we've gotten. Because at the end of the day, silence is not a political strategy. Democracy does not exist in a vacuum. It needs values and it needs visions. It needs a moral compass. Right now, we have a system in which everybody is busy voting against what their greatest fear is. A CNN poll came out last week showing that the majority, it's like 57% of Trump voters, are not really supporting him. They're just against Hillary Clinton. And a majority of Hillary Clinton's supporters are not really for her, they're just afraid of Donald Trump. So, you know, this is a moral vacuum. We are lost in a storm for lack of a moral compass. It makes the point. Let me also just mention that if you look at the number of young people who are locked in debt, and I mention this because there is a secret weapon right now for the left, for an agenda of justice. 43 million young people who are locked in debt, who have no future for getting out of student debt or having the jobs that enable them to do that. And there's only one candidate on the ballot who will abolish that debt like we did for Wall Street. So if young people actually learn that they can come out and abolish their debt, that is a plurality of the vote right there. So my point is, don't accept the propaganda, the very self-serving propaganda of the political elite that will tell you you are powerless. In the words of Alice Walker, the biggest way people give up power is by not knowing we have it to start with. We actually have it. There are many scenarios by which a coalition for justice could prevail right now with the stroke of a pen. Not to mention that this whole concept of taking votes away could be rendered obsolete through a simple voting reform that could be passed right now at the state level by state legislatures called ranked choice voting, which makes clear that if your first choice loses, your vote is automatically reassigned to your second choice. So this is simply a fear campaign in order to lock people in to voting for what they don't support. fear should be taken out of democracy. We should be able to go to the polls and vote for what it is that we want and restore our moral compass and regain our future. This is within our hands the minute we stand up with the courage of our convictions.
Green Party presidential candidate Dr. Jill Stein at the Left Forum in New York City. Meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders outlining his progressive agenda in an interview with the Associated Press said the Democratic convention this summer could be messy.
We are bringing in a lot of new people into the political process, people who have never gone to a convention before, and they hope very much that their voices will be heard. And let me repeat what I have said again. The Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party, has a very fundamental choice to make. And that choice is, do we open the doors to many, many millions of people, often working class people, people who are working maybe two or three jobs to make ends meet, to young people who have never perhaps voted in their lives? Do we say, hey, come on in. We're delighted to have you. We're excited to have you. This is great for the Democratic Party. Or do we say, hey, you're not really one of us. We're too busy going to fancy fundraisers at, $50,000 a plate, and you're really not what this party wants. That's the choice. Or we're too busy raising money from Wall Street or from corporate America. That's the choice the Democratic Party has to make. And I think if they make the right choice and open the doors to working class people and young people, create the kind of dynamism that the Democratic Party needs. It's going to be messy. Democracy is not always nice and quiet and gentle, but that is where the Democratic Party should go.
Sanders spoke after the Democratic National Committee announced a 15-member platform drafting committee. It will write the first draft of the party platform. The panel includes allies of both candidates. Sanders gets 5 members, Hillary Clinton gets 6, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, chair of the DNC, gets 4 members. Sanders' appointees to the DNC drafting committee include racial justice activist Dr. Cornel West, environmentalist and 350.org co-founder Bill McGibbon, Native American activist Deborah Parker, Progressive Caucus co-chair Representative Keith Ellison, and pro-Palestinian scholar, founder of the Arab American Institute, James Zogby. These members will ensure that Sanders has a greater say drafting Democratic policy. Clinton's campaign choices are Wendy Sherman. She's a former top State Department official and Clinton surrogate. Neera Tanden. She is president of the Center for American Progress. It has deep ties in establishment Democratic politics. Its founder, John Podesta, is a former chief of staff to Bill Clinton and current senior Obama advisor. Other Clinton choices are Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois. He's a leader in immigration reform. Carol Browner, a former director of the White House Office of Energy and Climate Change Policy and former head of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, under Bill Clinton. Ohio State Representative Alicia Reese, president of the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus, and Paul Booth of AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union, which endorsed Clinton early on. Wasserman Schultz named Howard Berman of California, who has been a delegate to the DNC in 1968, 76, and 84, California Representative Barbara Lee of California, and feminist and former CEO of the Claire's Costume Jewelry and Accessory Stores, Bonnie Schaefer. But the Democratic presidential race isn't over yet. Vermont Senator Sanders isn't done fighting for the nomination. Today, he continues to campaign in California. Last night, he expressed confidence his prospects in California over Clinton in the June 7th primary.
All right, if you promise not to tell anyone, okay? Got your word? Keep this a big secret, because I don't want to get Secretary Clinton too nervous. She's looking very nervous lately, and I don't want to get her more nervous. So if you promise not to tell her, we're going to win here in California.
Sanders says, we think our grassroots campaign is going to win the state and win it big. And he spoke out on Hillary Clinton's decision to renege on a commitment to debate him in California.
Now, I was disturbed but not surprised to hear a few hours ago that Secretary Clinton has backed out of the debate. A number of months ago, our campaign and her campaign had reached an agreement on a number of debates, including one here in California in May. But I think, I got to tell you this, I think it is a little bit insulting to the people of California, our largest state, that she is not prepared to have a discussion with me about how she will help the Californians address the major crises that we face.
Sanders was speaking to supporters who filled a football field in Santa Monica High School. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. The news was produced with help from Seth Adler and others at the Left Forum and Reggie Johnson at WBAI's studio in Brooklyn. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.